Hey, man, I'm Tim Blue, pastor of Independent Bible Baptist Church, Charlotte, North Carolina. And it's a pleasure to be with you tonight and looking forward to what the Lord is going to do this week to help you, to help our own selves. Amen. We enjoyed the song service. Looking forward to the preaching. Take your Bibles tonight, if you would, go to Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. And I know you've been staying off and on, but I ask you if you would one more time and stand in honor of the Word of God tonight. Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians 5, look at verse number 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Let us pray. Our Father God, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we ask you, God, for your help tonight, Lord. Lord, we need you to hide us behind the cross, make preaching easy, Lord. And God, I pray, Lord, through the message tonight, through the course of the service, Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit of God, that you'd come through this place, God. You speak to every heart in the sanctuary, God. You understand and know every need in our lives, God. And I pray, Lord, that you'd have your free will and way in our lives tonight, God. Help us to preach this message you put on our hearts, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Looking back over in Galatians chapter 5, look at verse number 1. Where it says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. You know that the day that Jesus Christ came by your way, well, let me start by saying this. You ain't always been free. You ain't always been walking in liberty. You was born in this world dead in trespasses and sin. You had no choice in that. That's the way you came into this world. Adam took care of that many, many years ago. But then one day through the course of your life, I hope anyway, by already, but if not, you're at a good place to have this done. But somewhere in your life, Jesus Christ came walking by, and he come through your life, and he spoke to your heart one day through the way of the Holy Spirit of God, bringing conviction to your heart, showing you that you were dead in trespasses and sin, and that you needed a Savior, that you could not help yourself. And the only way to true life and true liberty was going to be through the Lord Jesus Christ. And through that conviction and God peace speaking to your heart, you seen your need for a Savior and you called on God to save you. And guess what happened? Jesus Christ moved in on the inside of you, forgave you of your sins, wrote a new name down in heaven. Amen. You'll never know what it's like to go to hell. You'll never know what it's like to be alone. You'll never know what it's like to be without God. And for the rest of your life, you've got somebody that's on the inside of you, that's walking with you, talking to you, there when you're in the valleys, there when you're on the mountaintop, there when you're fighting your battles, there when you're in the fiery furnace, there when you're in the den of lies. Jesus Christ said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Listen, look what the Bible says there. Can somebody get me a cup of water? You allow water in the pulpit. Amen. Amen. I get nervous. You get nervous? Some of you look like you're nervous now. Amen. I'm not going to hurt you. Amen. But my nerves affect my mouth. It goes dry to have something to sip on. But look what the Bible says there in verse number 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Listen, the day that God saved you and he washed you in the blood of Jesus Christ and the grace of God was applied to your heart and life. Hey, my friend, he set you free to live life and not just to have life, the Bible says, but to have life more abundantly. Everything that ever had you held down, hey, the chains of sin, hey, the yoke of bondage, hey, guilt and condemnation that wore down on your life and heart, the day that the blood of Christ was applied to your heart, all of that was broken. The devil had no hold on you no more. Hey, them old habits, them old sins, those things that held you down, it could have been a drug, it could have been a bottle, it could have been a woman, it could have been a man, it could have been religion, but whatever it was that held you captive, Jesus Christ broke those chains of sin, put you in liberty, and said, hey, I put you right here to live in freedom and you stand fast and live in the liberty that I have set you free. You couldn't help yourself. You didn't set yourself free. You couldn't help yourself. There was no way you could get out under the yoke of bondage. But happy day when Jesus Christ came through and washed your sins away. And the Bible says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Listen to me. You're free tonight in Jesus. Not because of who you are. Not because of what you are. I'm not free tonight because I'm a preacher. I'm free tonight because of Jesus. I'm not going to heaven tonight because I'm a King James Bible believer. I'm going to heaven tonight because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to heaven tonight because I'm a Baptist. I'm going to heaven because of Jesus Christ. I'm not standing up here tonight, hey, because I got some super power within myself. I'm standing here because of Jesus Christ. You woke up this morning because of Jesus Christ. You're walking through the course of the day because of Jesus Christ. You came through your last storm because of Jesus Christ. You walked through your last valley because of Jesus Christ. You made it to the mountaintop because of Jesus Christ. And when you make it to heaven, it's going to be because of Jesus Christ, not in your own willpower and strength, because of Jesus Christ. But look what the Bible says there in that same verse. He says, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So it's possible to be saved and born again and on your way to heaven and then get yourself tangled up again in the yoke of bondage. Now let me spell it out like this right here. Somebody walks in the church, and man, they're heavy laden, and they're heavy burdened, and sin, boys, got them down. And man, they're on their way to a devil's hell. God miraculously comes through, brings conviction. Conviction brings them to the cross of Calvary. The cross of Calvary, the blood's applied. Amen. Grace is applied to their account, and they get born again. Hey, my friend, and they're set free. And man, they're the happiest people on planet Earth. Hey, you can't wipe the smile off their face. You can't bring them down. They go to work on Monday. All they want to talk about is Jesus. All they want to sing about is Jesus. It's Jesus this and Jesus that. All of a sudden they're a Jesus freak, what the world would say. They're a Jesus fanatic. They're just crazy. But there ain't nothing you can say. They're just happy, happy, happy that they met Jesus Christ. You remember what I'm talking about. Some of you need to go back to where God found you at. You ain't always been saved. You ain't always been on the way to heaven. But thanks be unto God, that day that Jesus Christ came by your way and the grace of God was applied to your life. But you don't get too far in this Christian life. Something happens. Oh boy, that shout we used to have is gone. That joy of living for Jesus is gone. That zeal and that courage is gone. Now, most of the time, people's walking into church houses, nobody's smiling no more because they ain't got nothing to smile about. Listen to me. If you can't be reminded of hell and the blood of Jesus Christ, and that not put a smile on your face, hey, man, there's some drastic problems going on in your life. You see, it shouldn't take a $1 million check in the mail. It shouldn't take a 3-week vacation. It shouldn't make, hey, my friend, all these things be debt-free, retirement, 401ks, hey, my friend, a new bass boat, a new car, a new home. It shouldn't take all those things to make a child of God happy. It ought to just take, hey, just remember it, where God found you at, where you could be at tonight. But by the grace of God, that ain't where you at, but you're standing right smack dead in the middle of the grace of God. And if that don't do something down here on the inside, you're in need of a great revival in your heart. But what happens is we get entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We let all the cares of the world come inside of us and in our lives. And we let troubles dictate our happiness. We let trials dictate our joy. We let valleys dictate our victory. We let all the cares of the world dictate the joy and the happiness and the liberty. Listen to me. Some of you in here tonight, there was something inside of you a while ago. You wanted to lift your hands because He loves me. My Savior died. Something on the inside wanted to put the hand up, but the hand wouldn't go up. Something on the inside wanted to holler, amen, hallelujah, praise God. But something just wouldn't let the jaw balls open up because you see, all the weight and the cares of the world is weighing down upon us. We've entangled ourselves again with the yoke of bondage. Where we're sitting on our church pews, and most of the time we can't get in on the song service. We can't get in on the preaching time because our minds is full of the job we just left, the troubles we got at home, what we're going to face tomorrow, how our kids are acting, what our kids are doing, what they hate doing, how the churches are doing, how the church hate doing, how my neighbor's doing, how my neighbor ain't doing. This is happening, that's happening. Hey, Obama's doing this, Obama ain't doing that. Hey, my friend, this is going on overseas, that ain't going on overseas. And we let all these cares come upon us that we're missing out on the greatest part of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. We all talk about dying and going to heaven, and I want to go to heaven, but I ain't got to wait till I get to heaven to enjoy the goodness of God. I ain't got to wait till I get to heaven to enjoy the joy of God. I ain't got to wait till I get to heaven to shout and praise my Savior, because my Savior died on Calvary because of Jesus. That's enough right there to make us want to live. But we entangle ourselves with the yoke of bondage. My mind goes back to a story I read the other day. The little grandchildren, some of y'all can experience to this. The little grandchildren, hey, they come over to us. I ain't got no grandkids yet, but I'm a grandchild. Firstborn grandson. That's enough said, ain't it? Amen. I was a favorite. All those ones said there for you. Yes, my sister, she said she was a favorite. She don't know what she's talking about. She's senile. I was a favorite. Listen, you know how grandkids will do. They'll come into the house. They want to go in there, and they'll get in there in grandma and grandpa's spare room. They'll go in that closet, and they start pulling everything out. Didn't y'all ever experience something like that? Yeah, I see some of y'all saying, yeah, yeah. I used to do the same thing. Go in grandma, she had a hall closet. Her hall closet, went in the bed, was in the hall in there. She had a hall closet, had all kind of, pretty neat stuff in there. I'd go, and I'd start pulling these things out, boy, and she'd come walking down the hall, and she'd get mad at me. Boy, what you pull all that junk out for? Hey, you know, just get all upset because I done messed up her clean hall with all her junk. Grandkids over at the grandkid at grandma's house. And they pull out this thing out of the corner back there in the closet, stuck way back there in the back. You know, it's about yay wide and about yay tall and about yay deep. It's got all kind of little keys on it. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You know what, the alphabet, right? It's called a typewriter. You know what I'm talking about. It blew these kids' minds away. They say, what is this, Grandma? I've never seen nothing like this, Grandma. And she says, well, here, let me just show you what it is. She walks in there, she pulls out a piece of paper, she sticks it down in there, rolls that thing. You know what I'm talking about? Them old typewriter, rolls that thing around, and she hits this letter right here, I. Then she hits that little thing, and it jumps over there. Then she hits L-O-V-E, hits that little thing. It jumps again, and then she spells out Y-O-U. She pulls that paper around and shows it to the grandkids, and they look at that thing and says, I love you. Grandma says, that's right, I love you. And they say, what? Wow, Grandma, I've never seen nothing like that before. And they look at the back of that thing and say, where's the cord to it, Grandma? You didn't even plug that thing up to the wall. They turn the thing upside down and say, Grandma, where's the batteries go? You didn't put, where's the batteries at this thing? She says, it ain't got no batteries. It ain't got no plug to go into the wall over there. And they say, man, Grandma, they should have invented this thing a long time ago. Because, you see, in the day that we live in, everything's got to be plugged in. If it ain't got a cord, it ain't going to work. The most craziest thing I have seen lately is to ride down the road and see somebody weed eating their yard with a long orange thing following them. Call a drop cord to a weed eater. It don't make sense to me. You know, me, a weed eater, gas, oil, you know, not a drop cord. Time goes along. Young man in the church, he had a couple kids in the church. And all the kids always like to love to go to his house after church. You know, kind of like at our house. You know, I mean, look, tonight, all these kids are not mine. I don't have but three. All these don't belong to me. Amen. But you know what? But it's like this all the time. There's always somebody wanting to go to the house. Well, this particular day, he takes all these kids over to the house. And you know, I don't know how you are, but I know this. You're a Baptist. So this is probably what you do at the church on Sunday. After that long-winded preacher gets done preaching, you go home and eat a quick dinner, jump on your couch, jump in your recliner, jump in your bed, and you go get that Sunday afternoon nap in before it's time to get back to Sunday night. Hey, you know what? Ain't nothing no more unpleasant than to be at the house just like it happened to me yesterday. I was trying to take a nap, and I heard three little girls are running around, jumping around in the living room. I holler, go outside if you're going to do that stuff. stuff? Well, they went outside right in front of the bedroom window, hollering and running around. Hey, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, man, I ain't going to get my nap in. This is driving me crazy. But this particular day, he's laying in his chair. He's trying to get his nap. All the kids are down the hall, and they're in there. You know what kids do today? They don't play in the woods. They don't go play army. They don't build forts. They're sitting in front of the Xbox. They're sitting in front of the PlayStation, and they back here, boy, I got you. I'm beating you. And they're arguing and fussing about that game. Finally, he gets fed up, walks into the bedroom, and pulls the plug. I'm kind of upset. What are you doing, Daddy? He says, it's time you go outside. Outside, there ain't nothing to do outside. You know, they didn't grow up like we grew up. All we knew was outside. You know what? He says, get outside. I can't take it no more. Get outside. They go walking down the hall. They're mad. You know how kids get. They can't do what they want to do. Mad to poochie lip. You know, but he done ruined the best game they was ever playing. He ain't cut the TV back on. He's unplugged all electronics. Get your rear ends outside and don't come back in till I call you to get ready for church this afternoon. He goes back in there, lays down his recliner. They go outside, don't hear nothing but about 10 or 15 minutes. And about 10 or 15 minutes later, all of a sudden he hears them holler. He hears them laughing. They done found something outside called the trampoline. And now they're on the trampoline and they're bouncing and cutting flips. They're chasing one another around the yard. They're having themselves one more good time. Preacher, what in the world does this got anything to do with what you're trying to preach tonight? This is what I'm trying to preach. You see, they was on the inside of the house and they can only go as far as that cord of that TV could go. They can only go as far as cord of that Xbox could go. But when Daddy unplugged it and said, get outside, they found out that outside there was a great big yard out there. There was a great big blue sky. There was green grass. There was a trampoline to play on. There was a place full of life. But the reason they was never experiencing the outdoors, never experiencing the blessings on the outside, is because they was plugged in to everything on the inside. Preacher, what are you trying to say tonight? I'm preaching on this thought tonight. It's time that God's people unplug from some things and get outside and start enjoying life and start living life to the fullest. Preacher, what do you mean? I ain't plugged into nothing. I don't know how to even get on the internet. That ain't what I'm talking about. He says, dude, hey, don't entangle yourself again with the yoke of bondage. Some of you's plugged in on some things, and there's some things that you got a hold to. It's got a hold of you. You can't go but so far, and that thing holds you back. Some of you've had bad relationships in your life. You've had bad experience with some relationships in your life. And what happens is you're carrying that relationship in your life that happened years ago. But because of the way that ended, hey, it could be a marriage. Hey, it could be a family squabble. Hey, it could be a church squabble. You know, people, hey, in churches rise up against one another and they fuss and fight with one another. And the next thing you know, they get upset. And then the next thing you know, you talk to them on down the road. And you know what? Only thing they want to talk about is what happened 10 years ago. Only thing they want to talk about is that experience 20 years ago. Only thing they want to bring up is that childhood. Listen to me. I didn't have the best childhood in the world either. Hey, I didn't have the best kind of life. Hey, to live in, environment to live in either. My daddy liked to do drugs. He didn't like to go to church. He liked nothing to do with God. And my mama was the right opposite. She's the one that drugged me to church, drugged me to Sunday school, drugged me to midweek service, drugged me to vacation Bible school, drugged me to revival services. My mama was the right opposite. So I had the most upside down in life, hey, as a child. Hey, they'd be together one day and they'd break up. They'd be back together the next week and they'd break up. And then, hey, my friend, it was a messed up down childhood. And if I could, hey, my friend, I got that right to carry that baggage with me and I always say to blame my life and where I'm at based on my childhood. But happy day one day when Jesus Christ came by my way and he cut that cord and said, hey, boy, your life ain't dependent on how you was brought up. Your life ain't dependent on how your daddy was or how your mama was or how your grandma was. Your life has got to depend on Jesus Christ and him alone. I had to cut that cord to that childhood. Listen to me. Some of you in here, you carry things on you. Hey, you've had bad business deals, bad relationships, bad friendships. Hey, my friend, things go on in your life, and you let those things carry you and weight you down. Hey, to a point that that's all you think about. That's all you dream about. Hey, that's what took your shout away. That's what took your joy away. And you say, preacher, I can't get over it. I can't let it go. Listen to me. Yes, you can. All you got to do is walk over to the wall and pull the plug on it and let it go. Put it under the blood and walk in the liberty that Christ has set you free in. There's too many of God's people today. They're still occupied in the pews. And I commend you for that. You're still going to Sunday school. I commend you for that. But yet there ain't no life on the inside. There ain't no joy on the inside. You can look at people in the face and there's no happiness there. And it's all because of something that happened yesterday, last month, last year. And I'm telling you tonight that God said, stand fast in the liberty where I have made you free. Let that stuff go and live and enjoy Jesus Christ. Listen. People, they're plugged in and held bondage. All kind of things. Some of you in here tonight, I don't know nothing about your personal life. Except for these sitting on the front pew right here, I know their personal lives. But you ain't got no idea. But I'd be almost willing, I know it's a sin to bet, I use this just as a terminology, okay? But if I was a bet man, I'd bet that there's some folks sitting in here that your life is consumed of worrying about your children and what life that they're living right now. And this would be my question, are they 6 years old or are they 40 years old? And the answer would probably be, they're 25, they're 30, they're 35, they're 40 years old, but yet your life is consumed. Listen to me, there's a difference between having a burden for somebody and letting that person and that yoke of bondage be put upon you, that's all that you go through, and it's sucking the life of Christ right out of you. It's taking the smiles off your face. It's taking the shout out of your lungs. And your life is consumed of worrying about that individual. Listen to me. You can unplug from that stuff and go on and live for God. I know the people don't like to hear that. But there's a lot of people sitting in our churches across America, and things that you ain't got no control over is dictate and ruling your life. That you can't even enjoy a good church service. There's folks that's going to church service after service. And the only reason they're showing back up because it's the right thing to do. They're just there to do their time, put in their time. They ain't getting nothing out of it. They're drying up. And you know what they're doing? And they're carrying all this stuff. They're worrying about everybody else around them. And what it's done is wrapped up their life. Listen. You sit here tonight, you can't do nothing about that husband. You can't do nothing about that wife. You can't do nothing about those children. They got a free will inside of them, and people are going to do just what people want to do. If they don't want to live for God, they are not going to live for God. If they don't want to serve God, they are not going to serve God. And you ought not be serving God because somebody else is making you serve God. You ought to be serving God because of your love towards God. And that alone, that ought to be your motivation. That ought to be your drive. But there's so many people tonight, they're missing out on the greatest things. They can't hear the birds sing no more. They don't hear the North Carolina crickets on a good night like tonight. They can't see the Carolina blue sky no more. All they see everywhere they look around is that bad thing. That thing is coming in their life, and that is what's ruling and reigning in their life so much that they can't enjoy Jesus Christ. You know I'm talking to you tonight. I done got right down where you're living at. Old fella left a foreign country. You come here to the great United States of America. There's no place like America. No place. I should have got a whole lot of amens right there. See there? You're so wrapped up and tangled in bondage that you don't even realize you're living in the greatest country there ever is. No place like America. I know our government stinks, and I know they're crooked. You ever known an honest politician? Amen. If he was honest, he didn't stay in it long, or he'd become crooked. That's the only way to be a politician. Amen. If you're one, I apologize to you, but you know what? Get your heart right. Amen. But you know, hey, we live in the greatest country that has ever existed, my friend. I know the children of Israel is God's chosen people, but thanks God to that day when them people loaded up that boat, come over them waters, amen, and established
the nation, founded on the word of God. I know she don't stand firm on it now, but I thank God that's what she got started on. And I'm glad there's still some folks that's still standing on that solid foundation. This is the greatest land. There, listen to me. If you've never left this place, that's probably why some of you don't appreciate the place you live. But you take a trip overseas, you go to the third world countries, go across the southern borders, down there to Mexico, and you'll see, my friend, you will know why everybody's floating on inner tubes coming over to Rio Grande. You will know why they're slipping into our country, because all around the world, people are dreaming about walking in the land of the free and the home of the brave and enjoying this place that you serve every day. That man, he landed in New York City, first time in his life, left that old country. He gets out there, and the first thing he wants to do is go tour the Big Apple. Now listen, if you've never been there, the best thing about it is to tour it and get out. It's the only thing good about it. See the big buildings, see all the crazy people, and then leave. If you've always liked to see a foreign country, but you don't have the money to go, make a trip to New York, pick out your nationality, and you can find that foreign country right there in New York City. I ain't making a joke, but I'm dead dog serious. I went to the Philippines back in the early 2000s, and you know what? And I came back right after 9/11 happened. We went to New York City up there, and you know what, my friend? I went into a part of the New York City, and I thought I was back in the Philippines. It looked just like the Philippines. Every nationality right there. You want to become a missionary but not leave the States? Become a missionary, pick your nationality, go to New York, and you'll find the people. He landed in New York City. He says, I want to see all this I've always dreamed about. So he began to walk the streets and began to take in the sights that New York City has. It is a beautiful place. All kidding aside, it is. It's got its own beauty. I thank God for Carolina, but it's got its own beauty. He's walking around. He's looking there. He keeps watching the sun. He's looking up. About that time, the sun's starting to set. And he starts hollering and whistling, waving down, you know, them taxi cabs. He jumps in that taxi cab and he tells him, get me back to my hotel. Hurry up, sir. We got to hurry up. We got to hurry up. Get me back. Get me back. And that man looks at him like he's crazy. You know, he's from New York and he's looking at this dude like he's crazy. What do you mean you got to hurry up? What's your rush, man? I mean, the sun's just now starting to go down. He says, we got to hurry up and get back. There's a curfew. You see, in his country, there was a curfew. And if you was caught outside after dark, it could cost you your life. See, he forgot he's in a new country. And that taxi cab driver looks at him and says, son, if you forgot where you're at, there ain't no curfew around here. New York City don't even come alive until the sun goes down. You're going to miss out on all the crazies. You got to stay out here. The sun's just now starting to set. Oh, no, we got to get back. We got to get back. If we don't, I'm going to go to jail. They're going to take me to jail. He said, no, sir, listen to me. You're not in your old country no more. You're in a new country. This is the United States of America. You're free. If you want to stay out all night, stay out all night. If you want to eat Debbie's snack cakes all night long, eat Debbie's snack cakes all night long. You want to drink all the Mountain Dew you want to drink? Drink all the Mountain Dew you want to drink. You want a sun drop? Drink all the sun drop you want to drink, man. You don't have to go to bed. Stay up all night. Stay up all day. Do what you want to do, man. This place never shuts down. This is America. You're not in your old country no more. And you listen to me, even though he'd made the airplane flight, even though he landed in a new country, but inside of him and in his mind, he was still in the old country. What are you trying to say, preacher? The same way a lot of God's people are right now, my friend. You see, God has set you free. He has broke the chains of sin. He has given you liberty through the blood of Jesus Christ. But you're spending too much time in that Adamic nature, in that old man, and you're still living by that old flesh. You're still letting the flesh dictate to you. You're still letting the flesh tell you how to live, how to operate, what to enjoy, what not to enjoy. But there's a new man down on the inside. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But there's so many people, they're still living in the old man, in the old nature. But it's time that you leave the old man behind. Step over in the liberty that God has given you. Unplug from those things and live life to the fullest. Listen to me. The Bible says in John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Free, look in your Bibles really quick. Go to Romans chapter number 8. Let me show you this right here. In Romans chapter number 8, verse 1, the Bible says, therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life is Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. I no longer have to allow sin to dictate my life. I no longer have to be afraid to die. Listen to me. One day I'm going to close my eyes in death unless the rapture takes place. But if I do, I'll never experience the sting of death. I'll never experience all that stuff, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I don't understand why God's people won't start living for God. Hey, start getting excited about God. Put a smile back on your face. You are to be the happiest people in the world. We are to be continuously shouting the victory even when we're in the valley, because listen, even in the lowest valley, even on your worst day, it's still a good day to be a child of God. Let me help you with this one thought right here. Take your Bibles and go to Romans chapter number 14. I am fixing to give you every right to cut loose from everything that's holding you down that you ain't got no control over. Listen, I have no control over what this man does. That man has no control over what I do. He's going to answer to one, and that's God. Some of you, you spend your life trying to fix somebody else. You spend your life trying to make somebody else be what you think they ought to be. The truth of the matter is, the only thing that's going to change anybody is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. You ain't going to change nobody. Only Jesus is going to change them. But so many people, hey, that we talk to, I talk to, I'm sure he talks to, that their biggest problem in life is really not their problem. They have made it their problem. Look at this verse of Scripture in Romans chapter 14, verse number 12. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Look at that closely. So then, every one of us shall give an account, look at this, of himself to God. Everybody's going to stand before God on his own turf, on his own two legs, and give an account of them own self. I will not stand before God and give an account for Brother Larry. Brother Larry will not stand before God and give an account for Tim Blue. I'm going to stand there and give an account for myself. So why do I let all the cords of this life and other people's troubles and trials and the way they live it entangle me so much that it pulls me down, takes a smile off my face, takes the want to out of my life. Hey, my friend, the joy and victory out of my soul, that it makes me feel like I don't even want to go on no more. I'm going to quit because God ain't doing this in their life, and God ain't doing that in their life. And what about this trouble over there? What about that trouble over there? You know what God says? Bring it to me. Hey, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Cast all of your cares upon him, for he cares for your soul. Listen, it's time that God's people unplug from all these things that's weighing us down. Get back on the victory side and shout for the glory of God, and let this world know that Jesus is alive. He's still in the same business, and there's grace for every need. Instead of walking into church, going to churches across America, and you wonder, you had a funeral or a church service? Is people saved, which means, you know, alive, or dead? Why has everybody got that frown, mad, you know, like everybody's been sucking on lemons or something, you know, just crazy? You know, I heard something on the radio coming up the road. Do you know that a pound of lemons has more sugar in it than a pound of strawberries? So some of y'all need to trade your lemons in, pick up some strawberries. They're sweeter, they're better, and they're less fattening. Amen. So you win all the way around. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say this. Why do we have revival? Revival is not for lost people. Revival is for saved folks. Because you got to have life to be revived. What happens from one revival to the next is we let things of this world and cares of this world entangle us again to pull us down. As a pastor, this is one of my biggest struggles that I have, is whenever I start hearing somebody else's struggles and I start trying to carry that weight, where really all I got to do is take it to Jesus, because if he don't fix it, it ain't going to get fixed anyway. I can't fix them. I can't fix you. But I sure can't tell you about the one that can. I sure can't point you to the one that can. And I'm telling you right now that the same God that found you on your way to hell, the same God that convicted your soul, the same God that picked you, out of the miry pit of hell, washed you in the blood of Jesus Christ, established you, gave you your going. Hey, my friend, preparing a place in heaven for you, it's the same God that can fix that broken heart over there, can fix that broken home over there, can put that marriage back together, can rescue those children. He can take care of the drug dealer. He can take care of the dope head. He can take care of the drunkard. He can fix whatever it is. Why? Because he's God. And you know what? Ain't nothing catching him by surprise. God don't need, my friend, hey, us to tell him what to do. He already knows what he's going to do. But what he does need is for God's people to pick their heads up, look towards heaven, lift up their voices, a trumpet, shout the victory. Why? Because you already have the victory in your soul. Ephesians 3:20, he is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You know what that tells me? You know, it's this. I already got what I need. It's just a matter of whether or not I'm exercising what I've already been given. And you know what? And you got every right to walk into the throne room of grace, if you're a born-again child of God, to walk into the throne room of grace and say, God, I can't carry it no more. Here, you got every right to walk in there and say, God, I can't do nothing with him. I can't do nothing with her. I can't fix them. I can't fix that over there. I can't take it no more, Lord. My shoulders is weary. My heart is broke. I can't deal with it no more here, Lord. And you know what God's going to say? My grace is sufficient for every need. This ain't catching me by surprise. Hey, I've done this before. I've been in that storm before. I've fixed this home over here. I can fix that home over there. I've saved that child over here. I can save that child over there. I've carried this burden over here. I can carry your burden too. Listen to me. God is still able and capable of doing whatever you need God to do, because he said through the promise of the word of God that his grace is sufficient for every need. It's just time we unplug and get outside and enjoy the goodness that God has laid at your feet. But if you're saved tonight, and you walk around always discouraged, does that mean we don't never get discouraged? Nope, I didn't say that. I said walking around always discouraged. Never happy. You know what I'm talking about. Them Baptists is never happy, never satisfied, never smile, never nothing can move him. Fire ants in the pew wouldn't move some Baptists. You know what I'm talking about, that crowd. It is easy, as simple as this. Jesus, I need help. Lord, I can't do this again. You know, kind of like that song says, you know, I look out in front of me, I see that battle, and I don't know if I'm going to make it through that next battle. Jesus Christ says, you know what? I've moved like that before. Let me ask you tonight. Tyler, y'all get a song ready. It's all right if I do the invitation. Get that song ready. I ain't got no idea what you're facing. But this one thing I do know is that problems, troubles, trials, people, persecutions, then you add the devil in there, and on top of all of that, your flesh that ain't saved begins to choke the life out of us. Why did Paul say, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty of Christ? Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You know what again means? It means you've been entangled before, and he broke it. But then things happen in life, and we allow those things to entangle and engulf us again. And I'm trying to tell you, listen, you didn't save yourself the first time. And I ain't talking about getting saved all over again. But you couldn't help yourself the first time. You couldn't fix your problems the first time. You couldn't fix your troubles the first time. What makes you think you can fix it this time? You can't. Only Jesus. Why don't we pull some plugs? We live in the most electronic day there's ever been. My boys can't leave the house without making sure they got a phone charger when they leave the house, because the battery might die before they get 20 minutes up the road to church. We got to have that charger. I watched them the other day at the basketball game. People walked in. There's a game going on the court, man, a tight game, a good game. And people was walking into the gymnasium, and they weren't paying no attention to the scoreboard. They weren't paying no attention to who was playing. You know what they doing? They come walking in, they was looking. There it is. And they walk right over there and plug their phone charger into the outlet on the wall and sit it down. And then they got over there and started enjoying the game. They couldn't enjoy the game because they're always looking over there, always making sure that that cord and that phone was still laying over there. You see, that's the age that we're living in. But on the spiritual side of it, it's the same way. Some people can't make it to an altar because them cords has got them so tight they can only stand up. That's as far as they can go. And you know what? Because their cords won't let them go. Hey, my friend, right here to the altar. I'll tell you this illustration, this true story right here, and we're going to have them sing the invitation. I got a friend back home in Indian Land, South Carolina. They had a dog by the name of Tater. Tater was just a little old yapping chihuahua. Ain't good for nothing but yapping. That's all it's good for. And you know what? They went out there and they put little old Tater out there in the yard, and they put it in one of those invisible fences. You know what I'm talking about? Underground there. Little old Tater has got a trail. Hey, my friend, one end of the yard all the way to the other. And all Tater does was run back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, man. Every time a car pull up, back and forth. He's got, there is no grass for 100 yards in that yard. But you know what, my friend? A couple of weeks ago, Mr. Tim, he decided to put in a new driveway. So he comes in there with the tractor, and he's grading it, fixing his driveway, but he went just a little too deep, hey, in the yard. You know what he done? He cut that line. Hey, my friend, I pulled up in the yard the other day. Hey, my friend, you know what? Tater's still running. Hey, that yard boy, still running back and forth, and his oldest son, Cody, says, you know what? That's the dumbest dog I've ever seen in my life. I said, what are you talking about, Cody? He said, because that line's been dead for 2 weeks, and that dog ain't figured out yet that that line is still in the ground, but it's dead. It stayed right there, back and forth, back and forth. But you know what, my friend? That's just like you and I. Hey, my friend, we let them things hold us back and we won't step over the line because we think it's still there. But God's grace is sufficient. He's already broken. He's already forgiven it. Well, did Tater ever figure it out? Well, we got home last night after church and there was a Facebook post, hey, on Miss Staten's Facebook page. You know what it said? If anybody sees a little chihuahua running up and down Harrisburg Road, would somebody please call us? You want to know what happened? Tater figured out, you know what, the line is dead. And Tater had a great big world to explore. And you know what, Tater was gone. That's what you need to do. Realize them cords, they ain't got no power in them. It's around you, but it ain't got no power. It ain't going to hold you back. Realize that God has set you free. And get out there and live and go for the glory of God. You'll be surprised. You know, don't say it. Milk does your body good. Shouting does your body good. Rejoicing does your body good. Praising God does your body good. Hey, my friend, it takes less muscles to smile than it does to frown. It's just time that God's people be excited that we're on our way to heaven and never feel the flames of hell. Listen. It's your choice to stay plugged in or live. Early in my Christian ministry, I let a lot of things hold me back. I let the brethren hold me back. I let popular opinion hold me back. I let all these different things, them cords attached to me. And I always knew there's got to be something else to this thing. One day the Spirit of God came by and he started pulling them things. And said, listen, they didn't save you. They didn't call you. They're not carrying you. I am. So either you want to stay here plugged in or come go with me and I'll take you to places you've never been. You'll experience things you've never experienced before. But the only way to go is you got to unplug, boy. We got to go. First thing he said to his disciples when he called them was, follow me. Are you following Jesus? Let's all stand tonight.